Welcome. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Daniel McDonald. I think I've met a few of you. I'm Director of Development at Sensei Project Solutions. And today, we're going to talk about apps for project and the top 10 success factors. I've subtitled this roadmap from start to store. And what I'm going to do today is relate our experience starting from familiarizing ourselves with the technology behind apps for project through some design and development considerations up into getting our applications into the store. I want to talk a little bit about terminology. When I talk about apps for project, I'm referring to apps for Office that work with Microsoft Project on the desktop and apps for SharePoint that work with Project Online or Project Server 2013. We've got a lot of cover, so we'll have a questions period at the end, so if you can hold questions till then, that'd be appreciated. So again, a little bit about myself. I've been working on a variety of roles within IT, on the Microsoft Development Platforms, probably for a little bit more than the 20 years I have listed there, but let's say the last 20 years. And during that time, I've had the opportunity to work on custom solutions for Project Server and the Project Desktop. And currently I'm working on, and of course currently working on some initiatives with Project Online, which brings me to my current role of working, leading the apps initiative with within Sensei Project Solutions. At Sensei Project Solutions, we're a Microsoft Gold partner, and we focus exclusively on Microsoft PPM solutions. We have four parts of our businesses. We have services, solutions, training, and the part of our business I want to talk to you about today is which is our apps for project. You may have seen some of our apps for iPad and the mobile devices today in the keynote, but what I want to focus on during this session is our work with apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. One of the things that's not in this slide that you may want to know about me is that I'm Canadian, so sometimes during this presentation it will be Microsoft Project and sometimes it will be Microsoft Project, but they're the same thing. Okay, so my goal today is to cover a wide variety of topics. And there's a lot of related sessions on some of these topics that we'll dive deeper into them. And when they're relevant, I'll reference some of these related sessions. So I've looked through them, and it's possible to actually attend all of these, and I'll probably be at most of these, so I hope to see some of you there. So the top 10 success factors. So we started working with apps for Office and apps for SharePoint probably about a year and a half ago. And we started, obviously, with doing the orientation, so the training and understanding the technologies and doing some training on there. And then we threw some design. I'm going to discuss some of the design and development considerations and then go up to how to get those applications into the Office store. So orientation. So apps for Office and apps for SharePoint have been out around for probably a little bit more than a year and a half now. And there's a lot of material available on apps for Office and apps for SharePoint, and specifically some good material on how those technologies relate to Microsoft Project. And I want to point out a couple of those resources, and I'll start with the Office Development Center. So there's obviously a lot of information within the Office Development Center for developing with apps for Office, apps for SharePoint. There's a couple of key areas I want to point out that I found particularly useful. If you go in Develop for Office, you'll find a Office 2013 training. So this section has about 22 modules that cover a wide variety of topics on apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. So each module has about three or four videos, an hour long in length. They were available when we were started to work with apps back in the summer of 2012. So I've probably gone through all of these at least once or twice. It's a very good reference for when you're starting with apps in Office and SharePoint. The other spot I want to point out is the project section within the Office Development Center. If you see here, there's a link for project. And this is where you would go to get your Project 2013 SDK. any information about related to the development documentation for project online, Project Server 2013, and the apps for Office and how that works with Project. So two very good resources. I'll also point out the blogs and forums on the MSDN blogs and forums. So there's been a lot of the apps for Office development seems to be doing a lot of blogs on apps for Office and apps for SharePoint, and specifically on there's some great blogs on how this works with Project. So I highly recommend if you have issues to go check the MSDN forums and MSDN blogs for information about Project and how that works with apps for Office and SharePoint. The last development resource I want to talk about is the Channel 9. And there's a lot of great videos on Microsoft's Channel 9. There's a series called Inside Apps for Office and SharePoint. And in there, there's a three-part series, and I think it's called Introducing Developing for Apps for Office and Apps for SharePoint. And it's a really good introduction to the technologies behind apps for Office and SharePoint and some of the considerations for why those technologies were chosen. So if you want a good orientation on apps for Office and apps for SharePoint, I definitely would recommend checking out Channel 9. So apps for Office. So what is an app for Office? So I don't know if you've seen this slide before, but it's pretty common. And what an app for Office actually is a web page, or I actually think of it as a web application, that interfaces with Office. It has an app manifest file, and that identifies the web application, where it's located, and the privileges that it wants. But basically, it's going to be a web application that's going to be hosted within Microsoft Office. Actually, I'm going to pop out to an application just to show you that. So it might not be immediately obvious that there's an application running here in Microsoft Project, but this is our Sensei Task Analyzer on the right-hand side. It's very well integrated within the Office suite. And in this case, it's what we call a task pane app. So a task pane app resides on the right-hand side of an Office application. And in our case, the task analyzer, it's going to give you diagnostic information about your task. So this one doesn't actually have a baseline, because there's information about that. And there's a task here that's missing a resource assignment. So you'll notice that as we change tasks, it's able to give us diagnostic information on the selected tasks. So our app for Office is able to communicate with the Microsoft Project document and get task field information. So what's really going on here? So as I said, it's a web application hosted within Office. And as a web application, you can use all these web technologies, and I've listed a few here, HTML5, JavaScript, jQuery. And we have another application that's actually an ASP.NET application that works within Apps for Office. But the real power of this application is that it can communicate with the Office document. And it does that using an Office JavaScript library. So in this case, it's able to detect the task selection change. It's able to get field level information on either resources or tasks. In this case, I just showed you the resources. So there's three types of apps for Office. The first is what I showed with the Microsoft Project, was the task pane app. So task pane apps reside on the right-hand side of Microsoft Project, or Word or Excel and PowerPoint. So these are the only types of apps for Office that are currently supported within the Project client. There's also content apps, and those are apps that get embedded into Excel documents. So when you share that Excel document, your application would go with it. And the last type of application is a mail app, or what I call a contextual app. And that's something that the application gets activated depending on the context of your mail document. So for example, if your mail document had an address in it, you could have an application, a Bing application, that would bring up a map with that address. So I'm just going to pop out and do a quick demo of how App for Office integrates with Visual Studio 2013. Okay, so we'll start a new project. And you notice right away that there's some apps for Office and app for SharePoint templates within the C# group. And normally I'm going to just create an app for Office, and we'll call that PC 2014. It asks you what type of applications. Those are the three types of applications I mentioned before. Project is the only one that's valid for, it's only task pane apps valid for project, and I'll just select the one. So you can have an application that will work across multiple Office client Office applications, so Excel, Word, but in their case, we just want to do project. And we'll start. So you notice that there were templates within C#. There's also templates within the Visual Basic group. So if your application has server-side code, you can decide to use either C# or Visual Basic. So it pops up the application. I just want to show a couple things here. Yes, it is. So it pops up to the home page for your After Office application. A couple of things I want to point out here is the use of the Office style sheet. So I mentioned when I showed the application that we developed that it looks quite integrated into the Office, and one of the reasons for that is we use an Office style sheet that gives us styling similar to the Office application. And this is the Office JavaScript library. That's a JavaScript library that you use to communicate with all the Office applications, in our case Microsoft Project, but you'd also use this library if you want to communicate with Excel or Word. And of course, there's also included some style sheets and JavaScript libraries for your application and your home page. I'm just going to pop out the code for our home page. You'll notice that there's an Office initialization event that gets fired once the Office document is ready. In this case, we're going to handle a click event, and it's going to get some deselected data. So I'm just going to run this, and I'll show you the integration, the start integration within Visual Studio. So you just simply hit start. So what it's going to do is going to start up our Office application. In this case, it's going to be Microsoft Project. It's going to deploy our application into Microsoft Project. And when we start open up project plan here, if I select project, this is where you would normally go get your app for Office, and that includes from the store. But in this case, for our development experience, you click on the drop-down, and it's going to give you the developer applications that we installed. So if I select that, yeah, let me just. We have a resolution issue here, so let me just show that over on the right. So that's your web application there, and what happens? Sorry, I've lost that. That's better. Sorry about that. So this is your web application on the right-hand side, and it gets embedded within Microsoft Project, as I showed with our example. So if I select, in this case, if I just select some text and get the get data from selection, you'll notice that it actually pops up the selected text on the bottom right there. So not a particularly useful example in this case, but you can see if you're running an application that was a dictionary or a thesaurus, you want to be able to get the selected text, go off to some web service and get results. But what we'll do is we'll change the example slightly so that we're going to actually get some information that's not being displayed in the current view. And in our case, we'll get some task information. Cost information, sorry. So I'm going to insert a couple of code snippets that I've created. So the first one will get the current selected task. So So what it does is it, you'll see that this calls the Office JavaScript library. It does, calls a get selected task asynchronously. I'll talk about a little bit about the asynchronous access a little bit later in the presentation. So it's going to get the selected task. Once it's got the selected task, it's going to call this display costs. And this display cost is going to go out, get some project task field. In this case, we're going to get the project task field cost, and it's going to display that information. So I'll just run that example. So see, here you see that if we get a, we select a task, hit the get, I didn't make the change for the, we just changed that. We have to call the get current task. I didn't change that, so let's just change that. And run that again. So what it's going to do is it's going to go out, So we select the task, hit the button, and now you'll see that we're actually getting the task information. But we don't want to have to select the task, hit the button every time we want to get the task information. What we want to do is have the application detect that task change. So we'll add another quick code snippet in here that will do that. So this will get the current selected task. I'll actually show you that in a couple of seconds. So now when we select the task, the display is automatic, the cost is displayed, and as we change the task, the cost information changes. So I kind of skipped through that a little quickly. So that's the call that you're going to make to get the task selection changed event, and it's going to call asynchronously call the get current task. So just a simple example of apps for Office and how that works with Visual Studio 2013. It's integrated. As well, the question was, it's actually integrated with both Visual Studio 2012 and 2013. So Eli and I have a session tomorrow that will talk a little bit more about desktop extensibility and how we use Microsoft Project on desktop. Yes?
We used to see in the 2010 and previous versions that you could connect directly to the common interop that could work directly in front of professional desktop.
Yeah, this is apps for Office and SharePoint, so it's a totally different technology now. So it's a JavaScript model that actually communicates. So if possible, you know, hold the questions at the end, because I can go over all this at the end of the session, but we got a lot of cover. So tomorrow, Eli and I will have a session talking about desktop extensibility. And we'll talk a little bit about a lot of the topics we're talking today about, but in more detail. So apps for SharePoint. So I mentioned that an app for Office was basically a website that is hosted within Office. You can understand apps for SharePoint pretty much the same way. It's going to be in a website that is used to communicate, in our case, with a Microsoft Project Online or Project Server 2013 environment. And there's three types or three app components. The first is going to be a full web page application. Second type is going to be an app part, which is going to be a web page that's hosted within a part of your site page. Very similar to what used to be a web part. So these are app parts. Similar idea, but it's going to be a web page that works within one of your existing site pages. And then there's app features. The ability to add custom actions to the ribbon controls of Project Online and Project Server 2013. So I want to talk about two hosting options within apps for SharePoint. The first one here is SharePoint hosted. And in the SharePoint hosted environment, your website, your application's website is going to actually be hosted within the, in our case, the Project Online or Project Server 2013 environment. But it's going to be hosted in an isolated website called an app web. And because it's hosted within your project online or project server environment, you're going to be restricted to using client-side code. So you can only be able to do JavaScript, jQuery. And your apps for SharePoint is going to communicate with project online or project server using some JavaScript libraries. I've pointed a couple of the common ones, the SharePoint and project server JavaScript libraries. And one of the advantages of this configuration is that you're going to be able to reuse some of the SharePoint components. So you see here with our application, this is our bulk editor application. It's got a header and the breadcrumbs similar to the hosting project online environment. And that's because we're able to use the site's master page. And I'll show that in a demonstration in a couple seconds. The other hosting option is called cloud hosting. And this is actually covers two hosting options, one being Azure hosting hosted and one being provider hosted. So Azure's hosted is your application is going to be configured for you in an Azure environment, so everything's automatically done for you. But what I'm going to talk about is the provider-hosted option. So the technical considerations are pretty much the same, except for when you do a provider-hosted solution, you have to do all the configuration yourself. So in this solution, the web application is going to be hosted totally outside the SharePoint environment in a website built by the provider of the application. And in this scenario, you're going to communicate with Project Online or Project Server 2013 using a client-side object model. And I put down the Project Server and SharePoint ones there. So you can build full-fledged web applications in this scenario since you control the website. And for example, you can do an ASP.NET application. And the one downside of this is you're not going to be able to reuse the SharePoint components. You can get a similar look and integrated look and feel using a feature called a Chrome control. So that's what you'd have to do to try and get that header control, breadcrumbs back to the hosting site and the title. But your this application is hosted totally outside the SharePoint environment. So I'm going to quickly pop out and show a demo of how that integrates with Visual Studio 2013. Now, to do that, I'm going to... use an example of an application that we currently have in the store, the Sensei Bulk Update. Just give me a second to get that up. So a couple of things I want to point. Is it up there? So a couple of things I want to point out here. So we'll go to the... the top part here is the we're using the master page. So I remember I mentioned that we were able to access the master page for the website, so we do that there. We're also, these are the SharePoint and JavaScript libraries, SharePoint and Project Server libraries. Also want to point out that we use some of the JavaScript and jQuery libraries. I point that out because there's a large community producing jQuery UI widgets, jQuery libraries, and I highly recommend that you check them out, see if you can use them within your application. We have found them very useful. And I'm not going to show you much of our code, but I will show you the just one point up here is that we need to do a licensing check. So we put our applications into the Office Store, so if you're putting your application into the Office Store, it's going to need to do a licensing check. And it will call the Office Store verification service. It's going to pass back the information about the user's license. Is it a paid license? Is it a trial license? Or is there a license issue? And if it's a trial license, it's going to pass you back an expiry date. So within your application code, you need to check the licensing type, if it's expired, and give the user an experience. So in our case, if there's an expired license or if there's a trial license, we fire the user off to a separate page and give them information about the licensing issue and actions that they can take. And here we are. This is the feature that we've added. So this is we've added a custom button to the Project Center homepage, and I'll show that when I run the application. So in the interest of time, I've actually started this before the session. And what happens when you start it? It's going to come up and give you the trust dialog. So in the case of our applications, we were requesting that it have access to all, update access to all pro- to all projects, and then we some request some general access to sites and users. So when this will come up, and your SharePoint administrator can either decide to trust your application or not. In our case, we'll trust it, and it will install the application. It will automatically run it. No, no, it's not going to do that. Let me try and start that up again. So it takes a few seconds. What actually happens when you run from Visual Studio is it retracts any previous versions and runs the application. So we're actually having some technical issues here. So what tend to happen is that we're going to get a it's going to run your application. I'll try it one more time, and if not, I'll just speak to it. So what it's going to do is going to retract a previous version, install your application into the SharePoint environment. And if that here we go. So it's going to ask you for the trust. You can trust the application. So here it's going to come up, bring up, and load up the projects within our Project Online environment. So you notice that it has a header, and breadcrumbs back. That's when we're using the site's master page. So here we are able to, we use some jQuery UI widgets, or multi-select dropdown. So we can select that we only are interested in projects for Sarah and Cheryl here. And I'll filter those out. We can select all the projects or select several of the projects. Hit next. Then it'll come up with the fields that we can do in a bulk update. I'll just select a few of those for Pime. Then it will come up and it will list the values of those custom fields, and we can either change the custom field to a single value across all projects or individually change them. So here I'll show you that, for example, if all of these projects are growth on the investment category, we can select that for all of them. If we hit a publish, it would submit a job to the queue for each of the projects, so you don't have to actually stay in your application. You can go off and then check the queue later. But the last thing I want to point out is that we've installed a custom feature within the Project Center ribbon. And that's not working. That's not working right now, but the idea is that both of us install the custom control in that ribbon. That's a quick example of an app for SharePoint. Now that works with Project Visual Studio 2013 or Visual Studio 2012. There's a developer session by Bill and Chris Wednesday morning that will go on some of the considerations when you're developing apps for SharePoint and with in a project online or project server environment. And Martin's going to have building a real live SharePoint hosted application on Wednesday. So I suggest any of these two sessions if you're interested in that. So I definitely would recommend as part of your orientation to experiment. We saw that Visual Studio has really great support. These are web applications, so you can build them in any environment you want, but I'd highly recommend Visual Studio 2012 or 2013. Yeah, that full F5 experience that I just showed, when you can just press start and it will deploy your application, and then you can debug it as well. First step I would do is download the Project 2013 SDK. There's some great examples of After Office and SharePoint in there, as well as some examples using the client-side and JavaScript object model. And there's some OData reporting feed examples, which I'm not going to cover today, but it's Chris's and Bill's session will go into that. So once you kind of familiarize yourself with the technologies, the next thing we got to do is consider what some design and considerate success factors when we're building our applications. So the first question we should be asking ourselves is, why do we want to build for an app for Office or SharePoint? How many people have built farm or solutions or sandbox solutions previously? Okay, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about apps for apps for SharePoint, because App for SharePoint have the benefits of you're going to be able to build one application that's going to work with both Project Online and Project Server 2013 on-prem. These are also the only solutions that are going to be supported if you want to publish your solution into the Office Store, which is what we're doing right now. So the big advantage we saw when we were starting doing apps for SharePoint and apps for Office was the availability of the Office Store. It provides an easy acquisition model. So we've built solutions previously, and one of the difficulties was deploying those solutions to our customers. So with the Office Store, it's a much easier acquisition model. Our customers can go into the Office Store, find our application, and quickly install that into their environment, either into a project on a desktop or Project Online or Project Server 2013. In fact, it's not only your customers. You have a much larger potential audience. People who have never encountered you before can go into the Office Store and find your application and download it. Now, as we started developing After Office and SharePoint, one of the other factors that we found was that it made deployment of updates much easier. So your updates can simply be sent to the Office Store. The next time, for example, an Office user goes into your user application, they'll be told that there is an update available, and it'll be downloaded automatically into their environment. It's safer. Since these are websites, you're no longer going to install any DLLs or EXEs on your project manager's desktop when you're using an app for Office. And in a case with a SharePoint app for SharePoint, in a SharePoint hosted environment, it's just going to be JavaScript code that's installed in an isolated website. In the case of a provider hosted solution, it's not going to have any code at all in your environment. And when you're considering, the other thing we should be asking when we're deciding what applications to build is, what applications are good candidates? So I'm sure you have applications that either in-house that you've built, or maybe you've considered building, and you can consider those for app for Office candidates. You take advantage of the fact that you can build one application that's going to be able to be used within Project Server 2013 or Project Online, and you can deploy those applications in the Office Store and sell them through the Office Store. You may have had your customers or your in-house users request common processes that be automated. And often we don't do that because it's more expensive to actually build the application than just do the manual process. But if you're able to build an automated solution and now sell it through the store to all the other people that have that same issue, it may become a good candidate. And if you have a web application that can use all the data that's available within your project server environments, you might consider those type as application candidates. So the fourth success factor when we're talking about apps for Office, apps for Project is who's your audience? So if you're building an in-house application, you can still build an apps for Office. You wouldn't necessarily put that into the store, but you can build an application that has a much more specific functionality. But if you're building an application like we are for the Office Store, we have to make sure that these applications have general appeal. If you're building an app for Office, you're going to have a very large audience. Microsoft Project on a desktop has well over 20 million users. So in those cases, you have a large audience. But you may also want to consider an application that has a smaller audience, but has a greater value to that smaller audience. But obviously, if you can find those applications with a large audience and a large appeal, those ones would get the priority. So when you're considering your audience, you want to consider where your audience is going to use your application. So in our case, we started off with a project dashboard application. But our users want to be able to use our applications not only on their desktops or their notebooks, but on their tablets and on Windows phones and their mobile devices. So you want to, if you're building your application, you want to consider whether your UI is going to work across multiple devices. So in our case, we have pretty much the same UI on within Microsoft Project, as well as on the iPad and the Surface. And nowadays, no matter where you're actually building your application, you need to consider touch, because even desktops and notebooks are going to be using touch. And so you consider different form factors if you're going to support the desktop and the tablets. So Ben has a session later on today that will cover accessing your project online data across multiple devices. So if you're interested in how we can build solutions on mobile devices and tablets, I'd recommend that session. And the last design consideration for success factor is consider usability. So I mentioned a few times that apps for Office and apps for SharePoint fit well within Microsoft Project and Microsoft Office. You have to, when you're designing it, you do have to consider that. So make sure you're using those style sheets. Try and take advantage of the master pages and the Chrome controls. Integrate with the ribbon. And take advantage of the modern UI principles and make sure your application fits well with Microsoft Office. I've included a couple of blog entries here on topics regarding optimizing the user experience and then the UI design guidelines for SharePoint 2013 apps and apps for Office. And the other thing when you consider usability is give your users some guidance how to use your application. That could be in application guidance, as well as allowing your user to customize the experience of your application. I'm going to pop out to our application and show how we've implemented usability within the task analyzer. So you notice at the bottom here that you can actually click on the bottom and get some guidance on the specific tab you're in. So here it gives you some information about how we, about our guidance checks. You can also click on the help, and it'll give the user a getting started experience. So you want to be your user to be able to go into your application and quickly find out how to use that application. And within the checks, we allow our users to, all the checks that we do within the application, we allow our users to either turn off those checks or set the severity levels of our checks. So here you see we can either ignore the check, we can set the, change the severity level. So just a quick example of how you can add usability to your application. The other consideration, a couple of other considerations when you design either apps for Office or apps for SharePoint. The first is performance. So if you're building an apps for Project Online or Project Server 2013, there's a lot of projects and there's a lot of data. So when you're, if you're building an application that uses a lot of data, you're going to need to consider some performance considerations. Caching your data, sending, in the bulk update, what we do is we send out the jobs to the queue rather than having the user wait for those jobs to all come back. And make sure your solution is scalable. You know, you may start off with, you know, 10, 100 users, and since you're selling this application through the store, there could be thousands of users eventually on your application, and hopefully more than that. So you need to consider scalability. So there's also some considerations you need to do when you're developing your application. So now, fortunately, apps for Office and SharePoint take advantage of existing web developing skills. But these are different skills than what people were, were using to build your previous versions of solutions in Project. So you may need to upgrade those development skills. And you specifically want to be able to take advantage of the newest web technology. So if you haven't done web development for a few years, you need to upgrade those skills. You need to learn the new JavaScript object model and client-side object model for Project 2013. It's a new JavaScript library that works with apps for Office and the client-side object models that work with Project Online and Project Server 2013. So I mentioned before that when you're doing an app for Office, all the data is retrieved asynchronously from the Office document. That's great for your actual hosting Office application because it doesn't affect the performance of your Office application. But it does mean there's going to be some development considerations when you do that. For example, when we do our checks, we need to get 5 or 6 fields. We have to build in logic to make sure that all those fields have been retrieved before we actually give you your check. So just some development considerations when you're doing asynchronous access. And the last one, the big one, is whether you're going to choose to do your application using the JavaScript object model, the client-side object model. You can still do solutions with the PSI, but they won't be available. You can't publish those to the Office Store. But Bill and Chris are going to actually talk a little bit more about the technical considerations around JSON, JavaScript, and the PSI in their session on Wednesday. So you're going to need to be able to create a development environment for apps for Office and SharePoint. Highly, highly recommend Visual Studio 2012 or 2013. These are web applications, so use whatever web application, web development tool you want, but I would highly recommend the, Visual Studio 2012 or 2013. You're going to need Microsoft Professional 2013, and you're going to need either a Project Online or Project Server 2013 on-prem installation. We publish our applications to the store, so we actually do both, obviously, Project Online and Project Server 2013 in order to test our applications. And you're going to need to have websites to host your applications. We use Azure, so we all our web applications are hosted within Azure. I've included a link out to a blog article on how to enable sideloading in a non-development environment. So this is what you're going to need to do in your Project Server 2000 or Project Online environment, is you're going to need to run some PowerShell to enable sideloading so you get that F5 experience. It's just a few lines of PowerShell, not too difficult. And the last development consideration I want to talk about is pushing the boundaries. So make sure you're pushing the boundaries with your applications. You can call out to third-party services such as Bing and Twitter, Facebook. I mentioned earlier there's a lot of jQuery plugins and UI widgets available to make your applications that you can utilize with your applications. And I'm sure you have a lot of other ideas, but just make sure we want to build compelling and very interesting applications for Office and SharePoint and within Project Online and Project Server. So now you've designed and you've developed your application, and you want to put that application into the Office Store. So what is the Office Store? How many people were aware of the Office Store before the conference? Actually, that's pretty good. So I'll just pop up the Office Store on my my other machine here. So the Office Store is like a worldwide marketplace for apps for Office and SharePoint. So here we have apps that work with Microsoft Project, including ours, the Sensei Task Analyzer. So you can go in here and buy applications for a wide all of the Office products. And you notice within the Project section, it actually has products applications that are project specific, so they only work with Microsoft Project Professional, and applications such as Mavlink here that work with all the Office tools. So there's a lot of applications available in the Office Store. I think most of them have free trials, so if you want to, or are free, so if you want to try them, I would recommend going in and trying some of the apps for Office and SharePoint. So if you go to SharePoint, right now there's no easy way to find SharePoint applications that are project specific, so Project Online and Project Server application, 2013 applications. But you certainly can do a search for, say, for Project Online. And we'll bring up applications. This dashboard is actually Windows 8, including our bulk update and some of the other applications that were specifically with Project Online and Project Server 2013. So it's a worldwide marketplace. Last time I checked, those were the languages supported. I think yesterday they were discussing several more languages that are about to be available within the Office Store. So they're continually expanding the support within the Office Store. When you publish an application to the Office Store, you do it through what's called a seller's dashboard. And you want to make sure when you publish your application, so you do that successfully. So I'd highly recommend really good screenshots. Here we decided to put some guidance on our screenshots to how the user can use their application. Detailed descriptions of your application. And it's really hard to see there, but if you can see underneath the screenshots, there's actually a link out to a video. So that's a video that how to use our application. So within the Office Store, there's several pricing models. Probably the most common and the easiest one to understand is just the per-user pricing. So the user pays a certain amount for pricing. There's also a site license. And in the case of the Office Store, a site license is implemented using a pricing threshold. So in this case, we've priced the application at $250, and the threshold is 10. So therefore, once 10 users have purchased your application, any additional applications purchased on that site would be free. So the site license would, in effect, be $2,500. And you can do trial. I highly recommend a trial, making trials available if possible. The other possibility is offer limited functionality versions of your application. But any application published within the Office Store has to have real value. So if you publish a limited functionality, it still has to provide value to your user. And I could put down their price appropriately. Now, that's obviously very subjective. So what we do is we try and determine what our audience is. So if we're pricing an application for your project manager on the desktop, you try and price that so that if they find value in your application, they can purchase that without necessarily have to go in through an expense process. So just some considerations when you're pricing your application. So when you submit to the seller's dashboard, you want to get this message. You want to get your app is approved message. So in order to do that, you really have to follow those validation policies for apps submitted. And a couple of things you might get caught on is your applications have to be SSL secured. I mentioned earlier that we use Azure to host our applications, so that's taken care of for us. You're going to need to specify what locales and languages your application supports. Currently, our applications only support English language and over a number of locales. Browser support. So apps for Office support IE9 and IE10. And that's, I guess IE11 is coming out as well. But apps for SharePoint need to support the most recent version of Firefox, Chrome, IE9, IE10. And if you do not support IE8, you need to document that in your application description. And one big one, your application cannot, application experience cannot prompt the user to give your online credentials. So when you're connecting to Project Online, you're going to use your Office Online credentials. And so we don't want your application to actually have to give those credentials to an application. So you have to use OAuth in order to authorize your application. And the last success factor that I want to talk about is supporting and enhancing your application. So once your application is in the Office Store, the story doesn't end there. You still need to support and enhance that application. So I talked about a couple of support options when you're building your application. That's in application guidance, instructional videos. But you also, once your application's out there, you're going to have support staff to support that application. When you publish your application to the Office Store, it's going to have a contact us link on it so that they can contact you. And one of the great things we found about the Office Store, it's easy to put out enhancements. So you put out enhancements into the Office Store, they're immediately available to your customers. So, easy enhancements. And that's also really good for maintenance, since most of our users, especially all of our users on apps for Office, are going to be on the same version of our application. Apps for SharePoint's a little bit different, but most users will be on the current version. So it makes maintenance of our application much simpler. And that's an orientation of our journey through the app development process. I want to talk a little bit, so just to summarize, learn the technology and experiment. When you design your application, identify those apps with value and have an audience. We want to be creating compelling apps and putting those applications within the Office Store. Now, we're in the Office Store, and the more people that can put compelling apps into the Office Store, the better for all of us. And I think I've seen quite a few have already visited our booth, but please visit us. We're at booth 407. And we actually have a new book out. And the first, if you come by our booth and mention the presentation, the first 25 will receive a free copy of our book, Proactive PPM with Microsoft Project 2013. And please fill out the surveys. It's important to me to know how you felt about the session and Microsoft as well. And I'll open up the floor to questions. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's different, right? I mean, it's now you're now going to be doing web technology, so you're going to have to try, you know, caching, using databases. So there are certainly different considerations. Now we are working on that now with some of our applications to see what kind of performance we can get out. So for updates, it's a little easier. You can send the updates off to the job queue, but actually reading the data is a little bit of a challenge. Oh, you're talking about project professional on the desktop, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to work with that, how would related project performance to have massive checks on passing and looping through all the 800 tasks, for example?
So right now, the project model, you only get the information on the tasks that you're on. You don't read through all of the project tasks. That's coming. So I don't know what the performance will be like when we can read through all the tasks. I mean, it is quite good right now when I'm reading that task information. Not currently. Currently, you can't read the whole project plan within an app or Office.
Mm-hmm.
But you can only do that. You can only read the current task right now. But they're working on that. So I don't know what the performance will be like. No, it only supports the app for Office and app for SharePoint models within the Office Store. And they want, you know, within the Office, the app for SharePoint and the app for Office models are going to support Office 365, Project Online and Project Server 2013.
So you're very limited from what you could do?
Yes. Well, the functionality within is for apps for Office, but you really need to look at the JavaScript library for Office. There's actually a lot you can do within that JavaScript object model. But it's different. So I would recommend that you go out, look at some of the development tools, play with it, and see what you can do. But my experience is there's a lot that you can do there. You can pretty much read all of the Office documents, so Excel, Office, do a lot of stuff with Mail. The restriction with projects is you can't read the whole project plan right now. And that, I think that will be changing soon. So I can't tell you what the performance will be when I'm able to do that. It has been good. It's been surprisingly good when you're working with the Office document. But sorry, can't give you a clear answer on that yet. Yes?
You used a term I hadn't heard before, side loading.
Sorry?
The term I haven't heard before, side loading.
Okay, side loading is when I'm doing that, hit that start button and it loads. So I mentioned that the application actually gets deployed up to SharePoint. So that's what I refer to as side loading. So it's not actually loading it from the store or from your web. It's actually loading it from your development environment. So, but you have to enable that in your environment. Typically, if you're having a production environment, you're not going to enable side loading. So if you usually have a development site, you enable side loading so people can develop onto it from the Visual Studio. Yes? Through Office Store or through your own app, you can do something called an app catalog that will allow you to create an app for Office and keep that within your own environment. So if you want to have a test team that accesses your app for Office, is that what you're asking?
You want people outside of other people, so I don't want people to do it from your own environment because you never know what problems there are.
Yep. So you can use the app catalog to do that. So if you have a test site, if it's Project Online or Project Server 2013, you can use the app catalog within SharePoint to do that in that test environment and then allow as many users as you want onto the test site. If it's Project Pro, you can do the same thing. So if I put app for Office within my SharePoint catalog, users can go down and install that in their environment. Yeah. There's ways of doing it. You can deploy it to what's called a local folder. So you can give people it and put it in the local folder. It's a little difficult to do. I can take that offline, but yes, you can do it. So I can give you an application. You can put it on the network somewhere, and then people can access that application for the network when you're doing testing, for example. Right. Yeah.
Do you have to write different apps for online and on-premise?
No. That's the whole point. So if you're doing farm or sandbox solutions, you can continue to do that. That's still supported within projects 2013 on-prem. The appeal of apps for SharePoint is that you can build one solution, and that same solution will be supported in an on-prem environment as well as project online. Right? So that's the real appeal of it. Yes? Yes. 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 Yeah.
How do you find these guys? How do you find these specific groups? Do you just bring it?
Yes, basically, yeah. So you just search. I mean, there's some really well-known ones, right? The knockout JavaScript libraries. There's a list of jQuery UI widgets. So you can go within the jQuery site and look up some of the UI widgets. And what I typically do is download a lot of them and see what they look like. Some of them have a licensing involved, some of them don't, right? So, you know, you just have to download them, try them out, and see what you like. But there's a large community developing jQuery libraries and UI widgets. Not off the top of my head, but I would just recommend you do some searching. There's lots of stuff out there. Some really good stuff. For the
project apps.
Yep. Yeah. So they're both websites. So anything you can use within a website, you can use within an app for Office or app for SharePoint solution. The restriction is that if it's a SharePoint hosted one, it has to be client side code. But you know, jQuery, you can use in either solution. The only caveat is you have to check on if people are putting out UI widgets or libraries, you got to check what the licensing is involved with those, right? So some of them they charge, some of them are just public domain, and you can use them if you want. Yeah. But there's lots of good stuff out there, and it certainly makes our jobs a lot easier. Yes?
You mentioned you can't do PSI-based applications in store.
Yeah.
Have you gone through any conversions of old things you have?
We haven't yet. We may look at that, but no, we have the. I would recommend Bill and Chris's session. They go in a lot in about PSI, the JavaScript object model, the client, client-side object model, and some of the considerations there. Yes. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know how to do that. So right now, Visio, as far as I know, is not supported as an apps for Office, but I could be wrong. Yeah.
Visio, I was thinking about, like, when you get Visio project that worked against the COM objects?
No. Well, basically, you have to redesign it, totally redesign it.
And,
yeah. It's not too bad. But it's not fully. The client-side object model doesn't fully support the old PSI right now. It's different. Yes.
It's going to be a big problem now. Maybe in a couple of months,
yeah. We'll give you something in the example for the app project. Have a reference for Office JavaScript that's hosted on Microsoft.
Yes. That's true with apps for Office in general. That's true with apps for Office in general. It's you purchase the Apps for Office through the Office store, and the first thing it's going to do is it's going to call up to the Office Verification Service to get your license. So you're going to need an internet connection when you're using that service. It does it every time you install it. It goes up and checks. Yeah, yeah. So you will need an internet connection when you're using Apps for Office. Any other questions? Yeah. I don't get that impression. No, the push is certainly for apps for Office and Apps for SharePoint. It's a single model that supports both Project Online and Project Server 2013. I highly encourage you to try it and see what's available there. And that's no different than any other application people build, right? So, I mean, if you build an application, people can copy your UI interface. No. I mean, if they steal your code, that's a different story. But stealing the concepts and there's no real. Yeah. Oh, thank you, and please visit us, and mention the session and get a book. Thank you.